Well, Connor, your experiences put aside the weekend's result, but you personally had some challenging roles in recent weeks. Have you enjoyed that?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a good experience and something that I've sort of fully embraced from Ross. And I think the last few weeks I've learnt a lot and hopefully continue to keep learning as I keep doing the role.
How did it all come about? When did Ross come to you and say this is the particular role that you're going to play for a period of time?
He sort of always wanted me to keep working my defensive game, and sort of after the Port Adelaide game, where he sort of came up to me and we were playing against Western Bulldogs that week, and just came up to me and said, look, would you like to embrace the role of going to Bontempelli? And I was like, yeah, well, let's do it. So that sort of happened, and then as the weeks have gone on, I've played a few other roles and things like that, and yeah, as I said, I fully embraced it and look forward to it each week.
Has that defensive side of your game been a major problem? I mean, had last year where everyone couldn't believe you were dropped and stayed out of the team. Was that one of the reasons why maybe you were out of the team at that stage?
Maybe in a combination of things, but I think as a footballer, you want to be a well-rounded sort of player. And I think me embracing this role has enabled me to firstly stay in the team and then contribute really well. So when I'm doing that, I'm sort of fully focused on the role, and it enables you to sort of just have that single-minded focus and really embrace it for the weekend.
Did you watch Greenwood, John and Selwood starting to take notice of different ways people are shutting players down?
No, I didn't really look at that one, but you take a bit of advice from everyone. Like Nick Subin has done a few shutdown roles in the past, and you take a bit of advice from everyone in that sort of role.
Who's been the toughest in the last month? You've had a few big names. Who, the toughest opponent for you?
Yeah, they all have their sort of strengths and weaknesses. I think Jack Zeebler is really, really strong and a really good inside ball winner. Luke was really quick and someone that had to make sure he didn't really get on the outside too much on the weekend. But yeah, like the players I'm going to, they all have their definitive strengths. For sure.
Connie, just when we talk about the role, what does Ross sort of outline, or what do you say is your role? Is it a tagger, is it a stopper, is it a defensive player? What is the role that you call it?
Yeah, I guess it is a tagger. It's someone that sort of wants to negate their opponent firstly, and then after that you can still win the ball. So it's not like a full-on lockdown sort of role, but it's something that enables the other midfielders to win the ball a bit more, and then we know that I'm going to be taking care of one of their major ball winners.
I think you played a little bit off the half-back line last year. I think Ross was just saying it's all part of the education and getting them through the system. Where do you think that your best football lies, at what position?
I've also grown up playing midfield my whole life, but personally, your own opinion of where you think you should play or where your best football at the AFL level doesn't really matter anymore. I think wherever Ross wants me to play, I'm happy to play. And at the moment, it's this defensive role, and I'm really happy doing it.
Can you guess who you're going to be given it each week, or would you know pretty much just based on the conversations the previous weeks who you get this week, or do you have to wait to find out?
Sort of wait to find out. But yeah, as you have a look at their midfielders for the team that's coming out that week, you have a look at who's their major ball winners and who sort of hurts the opposition on the outside. So you sort of have a little bit of an indication, but not until sort of confirmed to me during the week.
Do you pick Merritt this
week then? With Essendon, yeah, I'm not too sure. I haven't really looked at them too much. We've sort of just reviewed the Eagles game so far, but I'm not too sure who will be.
How much preparation do you do during the week, like looking at video? Do you change the way you train? How do you go about that?
Yeah, I definitely look at a lot of video. On the databases, you get all the vision of what they've played and who they've played during the week. And then on a training day, we do a bit of team training at the end, and I'm usually tagging one of the boys in that. So there is a lot of preparation that I do, and I talk closely with Anthony Roth, my DOC, and he helps me out with that. So especially with them being such good players, you do need to put a lot of effort in and preparation.
Who do you tag at training? Do you go to Fifey most of the time?
It's been Lockie Neal a little bit. Coming up against North Melbourne, we thought I was going to go to Higgins, but he didn't end up playing. And it was a Lockie Weller who shows a bit of pace and things like that. But it changes from week to week. sort of someone who's similar to the player that's coming up.
Brian Crowley used to say he'd have a headache by the end of every game and I'm just concentrating so hard. How do you feel mentally with this role?
Yeah, it's obviously I change my preparation a fair bit in knowing that someone's coming up. So I think that at the end of the game, I definitely am a little bit more mentally fried a little bit, but there hasn't really been a game where I've fully done it for the whole game. We sort of release a tag halfway through or three quarters of the way a game, and you never know, like, we could be changing the role this week or next week, so it's not locked into being a tagging role all the time. It could change week to week, and it could finish up a quarter time, half time, so I'm pretty flexible with how it operates.
We heard coaches for a long time saying, 18-man defence, you can't play a tag anymore, but it seems like everyone's starting to look back towards it. Do you believe that most clubs will start to follow this lead and have tags as a tag back in vogue?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think, clubs definitely went away for a while, but yeah, I'm not too sure where we'll go, yeah.
Connie, you said, I think you've done a review of the Eagles game. What were some of the key messages to come out of that, and especially personally, I think, you mentioned Luke Shuey and his speed, but in that first quarter especially, you were well and truly on top of him.
Yeah, it was funny. The first quarter came out as being that we entered our 450 pretty much the same amount of times as the Eagles. I think they obviously used the ball a lot better going inside there in their 50 metre. So I think what came out of it was our defence was a bit sloppy when they had the ball, and then definitely with our ball use. It wasn't as of the level that we've had in the last few weeks. But then the positives that came out of it was that after quarter time we responded, and then especially after half time we came out and put together a sort of respectable finish to the game. But I think when you start any game like that, it sort of leaves you out of it pretty much.
I think this will be Essendon's third game in, I think it's 13 days, and they've travelled to Adelaide in that time as well. You've got obviously the back-to-back games here at Subi. Does that help you a lot to stay fresh as well?
Yeah, it is nice. It's been third game in a row this weekend at Subi, so definitely helps not travelling. But I think every club nowadays has such good recovery and strength and conditioning coaches that they take care of it. And I think they'll be coming over fully ready to go, and they'll be looking to bounce back after their game against Melbourne.
And going in against Luke, did you study the way he's able to draw free kicks as well, and that you had to be careful with your tackling and your technique?
Yeah, a little bit. The umpires have sort of changed a little bit with their stance on the high tackles, but you definitely have to be wary of those players that sort of go a little bit lower. But yeah, it's just like any tackle, you just need to stay low and tackle from the hips.
And how does it work with Sandy? Because you know he's going to, at the stoppages, you know he's going to win the ball. Do you take a bit of a notice of where he's going to hit it, or do you more or less just focus on the guy you're playing on when you're doing the job?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Like any midfielder that goes into the midfield, they're not precluded from not getting the ball. So at any stoppage, I can still be the go to. But then once the stoppage sort of leaves that area, it's a heavy emphasis on my opponent.
Do you think you guys don't capitalise as much as you can on his dominance? Does it feel like that, at, the clearances and things?
I think we've been pretty happy with how we've been going, especially centre square bouncer, on the weekend. Obviously, yeah, he's such a dominant ruckman that you'd want to make sure you make the most of it. And obviously, we got improvements everywhere, and it'd be nice to sort of get on top a bit more in stoppages, but he's playing his part, and we've just got to keep playing ours as well.
Nat Fife's future was brought up yesterday again. How much do players think about whether Nat Fife's going to be around next year at the footy club?
Yeah, not too much really. Like, I guess there's going to be so much talk happening throughout the year until something gets signed or whatever, but I guess he came in front of you guys a couple of weeks ago and spoke about it all, but we don't really talk about it or think about it much at all.
Do you believe, he's saying all the right things, do you believe he'll be around next year? You're pretty confident that he'll be the captain and playing as a docker?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
On field, you guys have to work hard to free him up a bit more. He's under a lot of pressure every time he gets physically frustrated with the front yard back when the weekend is being held. Has there been talk about just trying to help him get some more space?
Yeah, obviously he's a really good player, and it's only natural that he's going to get targeted a little bit more than the average player. But I think, yeah, of course we can do a little bit more, but if we all play our role, then that's what we can do. And I think that the way that he's handling himself with the frustrations and the extra attention that he holds himself in, then that's all he can do.
Do you notice the attention that he's getting during the game, or is it everyone too busy trying to do their role and needs to be reinforced and he's copying it?
Yeah, I think so much is happening during the game that you don't really notice it too much at all, yeah.
Has Ross raised the ball as a way of helping you out? Just...
Not from the weekend, no.
Not in general either?
As I was saying before, obviously like he's a pretty important player and he's going to get targeted a lot, but we do look to release him a little bit at stoppages and things like that, but yeah.
Let's talk last night, kind of, that we were talking about travel before and how much travel you have to do, that you might get through this new pay deal, business class seats. Does that put us, obviously it puts a smile on your face. Does that put a smile on your face?
Yeah, I think the agreement is pretty close to being settled, so it's a good thing for the AFL and all the players involved.
They're going to be 22 seats on a plane for the business class, or are you just
going to
be pecking order all the way down?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I haven't really read into those details too much. Yeah, I'm not too sure. Is that what's happening?
That's what I was saying last night. The Eagles and Dockers will get business class seats, but we were just wondering how many business class seats there are on plane.
24. Yeah.
24?